Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for meditation this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Thus far, God's holy word. In the name of Jesus, whose death and resurrection has prepared you for the work in his kingdom, dear fellow redeemed. In the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of court life and the pressures of being a monarch. He made a petition or an application to Prior Richard at a local monastery, asking to be accepted as a contemplative and spend the rest of his life in the monastery. "Your Majesty," said Prior Richard, "do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That will be hard because you have been a king." "I understand," said Henry. "The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." "Then I will tell you what to do," said Prior Richard. "Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you." Now, when King Henry died, a statement was written: "The king learned to rule by being obedient." When we tire of our roles and responsibility, it helps to remember that God has placed us in a certain place and told us to be a good accountant or teacher, or father or mother. Christ expects us to be faithful where he puts us, and when he returns, we'll rule together with him. Jeremiah found himself learning a very similar lesson to King Henry. When the Lord called him to be his prophet, Jeremiah is a priest. He already has a role, just like his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather. And being a priest was a comfortable job when you compared it to being a prophet. Priest duties were predictable. Everything was written down in the law. They just had to follow directions. A prophet's duties were unpredictable. The priest's duty was to conserve the past. A prophet labored to change the future. Priests dealt with the externals, determining ritual cleanliness, while prophets tried to reach and change the heart. Priests usually ministered to individuals, but prophets were ministers to nations, and usually nations who didn't like the message. Priests belonged to a special tribe that was respected and had authority behind their name. Prophets could come from any tribe, and they had to prove their call. Priests had a guaranteed income. Prophets had none. Not only that, but Jeremiah's role specifically would be an exceedingly difficult one. He was born during the reign of King Manasseh. And it was a period of great evil and rebellion in the land. Manasseh led the people in the worship of false gods, often using witchcraft and sorcery, even offering child sacrifices. And while Jeremiah began his role as a prophet during the days of King Josiah, who led a reformation, it was a reformation that was merely superficial. It wouldn't last. And many of God's people still spat in the face of his prophets. When you consider all this, it's no wonder that Jeremiah's first reaction to God's call was an objection. As a priest, he already knew the wickedness of the people. He saw the work that was before him, the wickedness that was around him, and he knew the own weaknesses he had in himself. What Jeremiah saw this call of the Lord as was a mountain before him that was too large for him to climb. Have you ever felt the same way about the ministry that God has called you to? Whether it be that of a father or mother, a son or a daughter, a student or a worker, just being a Christian that lives in a sinful world. Do you remember the first time that you became a parent? Did you expect all those ups and downs that came in that first year? Were you up to every single challenge that came with the toddler? Or the challenges with a teenager? And even the challenges from adult children? Of course not. Your weaknesses become all the more obvious when you get called into new things because you don't know everything. You will make mistakes. You just hope that the mistakes aren't too big to fix. Now, each of you have had different paths and different callings that the Lord has called you to. What made you feel most like Jeremiah? Well, the most common way for all of us might just be our calling to be Christians living in the sin-darkened world. To be, as the Lord has called us, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. To be ready in season and out of season to give a reason for the hope that is within us. In other words, it's the exact same ministry that Jeremiah was called into. He was called to bring people to repentance and reassure them of God's forgiveness the same way that we are. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Jeremiah preached God's judgment over sin, but that God would relent by his grace. We preach the judgment that will come on the last day, but how God's grace through Jesus' death on the cross saves you from that judgment. Nothing has changed in terms of the content of the message that we bring to the people around us. But so also nothing has changed with the results of that preaching. Jeremiah was mocked, threatened, imprisoned, and even physically assaulted by those that he preached to. He bore an emotional burden of a people who ruthlessly rejected him and rejected their God. He describes his call as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Now you may not face the same persecution. But things like isolation are a powerful emotion that can settle in our heart. Feelings of inadequacy might make you think that, well, maybe I don't deserve to be called a Christian. Maybe I don't deserve to be in this vocation that God has called me to. Jeremiah felt like he was not worthy to be God's prophet. He felt that God made a mistake in choosing him. Did God make a mistake in choosing you? I'm sure you could come up with enough reasons to make that answer be yes. But consider this. When is the last time that God made a mistake? Was it a mistake for him to lead his people out of Egypt into the land of Canaan? The place that he promised to give to Abraham? The place where he would send his son to die on the cross for the sins of the world? Did he make a mistake when he raised Babylon to a world power and had them take Judah into captivity? Something that he used to call many to repentance? Surely it was a mistake when he let the Romans run rampant with all their idolatry and cruelty. The same empire that would crucify the Savior of the world in the exact way that God predicted 1,000 years beforehand. Or the same empire that would create a road system that the apostles would use to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. No, God does not make a mistake. Everything that he does has been planned, is done so for the benefit of you, his people. The God who called Jeremiah and the God who calls you is the same God who controls the entire universe. It is God who executes judgment, putting one nation down and raising another. Every single time he acted, it was done to fulfill his promises. And that has not changed even now. Our God is not one who has acted in the past but has now wiped his hand clean of the world. No, he is active in calling you, in preparing you, and in defending you for his divine purpose. God gave Jeremiah 3 assurances. To calm his fears of entering the ministry as a prophet. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. This divine foreknowledge reminded Jeremiah that God had this purpose before he was even born. God knew what he would call Jeremiah to do, what he would face, and what he would need to be successful. Knowing all that beforehand, God could prepare Jeremiah and the world for his work. God formed you in your mother's womb. God knew you. He consecrated you and appointed you to his calling. He didn't do this because he saw just how perfect you would be. He did it because he loves you. And in his grace, he chose you to be his. God's second assurance was his eternal presence. But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth.' For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." There is nothing Jeremiah needed to know more than the fact that the everlasting Lord would be with him every step of the way. He knew what Paul would later write: if God is for us, then who can stand against us? Jeremiah would face down nations in his ministry, proclaiming the judgment of the Lord, but also of his salvation. He did it boldly because he had the Lord by his side. There's no greater enemy that you will face than your own sin, Satan, and death. Each of these your God has overcome. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he has broken Satan's power. He has paid the price of every single sin. And he has taken away the sting of death. And God's third assurance to Jeremiah was his effective word. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah's mouth was touched by the hand of the Lord. In doing so, he was given power and authority of God to accomplish a work that God sent him to do. He could go to the nations boldly, knowing that his prophecy did not come from his own heart, but it came from the very mouth of God. And he needed this because his work was lengthy and burdensome. He first had to break down and destroy before he could plant and build. He had to tear down the illusion that his fellow Jews had that they were acceptable in the eyes of God. It didn't matter how they lived their lives, who they worshipped. Only then could he shower them with the forgiveness that God offered. Jeremiah knew that he only had to preach the word, and God would take care of the rest. You have been touched by the same hand of the Lord. You are given the same power and authority of God to accomplish his work for you. Peter reminds us that we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The word of God that you have preserved for you in the pages of Holy Scripture is the power of God for salvation. With it, you are able to tear down false doctrine, but also build each other up with the communion of being in one confession. You can plant the seed of salvation through the message of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You preach the word and let God do the rest. God calmed every fear that or uncertainty that weaved its way into Jeremiah's heart. He did so much that to the extent that when Jeremiah mourned greatly, when he struggled underneath the burden of his call, he still did not waver. He continued to do what God had called him to do because he knew God was the one who called him. And God doesn't make mistakes. God prepared him with the power of his word, and God will always defend him, even when it would cost him his earthly life. And God offers you the same calming presence in your calling. Though you may struggle and falter under a burden that is on your shoulders, God's assurances are also for you. God called you into His family by His grace. You did not have to earn your place. He didn't make a mistake with you. God prepares you for your life as a Christian through His Word. Every day He reminds you of what Jesus did on the cross to earn your right to be called His child. And every day since He has made you His very own, He defends you. And though you may not be the next great Jeremiah, take heart. The same God will prepare you for every call that He sends your way. Amen. Please rise. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.